We have a house in Jersey. We have two kids, Annie and Josh. Annie's not much of a violin player, but she tries real hard. She's a little precocious, but that's only because she says what's on her mind. And when she smiles... And Josh, he has your eyes. He doesn't say much, but we know he's smart. He's always got his eyes open. You know, he's always watching us. Sometimes you can look at him and you just know he's learning something new. It's like witnessing a miracle. The house is a mess, but it's ours. After 122 more payments, it's going to be ours. And you, you're a nonprofit lawyer. That's right. You're completely nonprofit. But that doesn't seem to bother you. And we're in love. After 13 years of marriage, we're still unbelievably in love. You won't even let me touch you till I've said it. I sing to you. Not all the time, but definitely on special occasions. You know, we've dealt with our share of surprises and made a lot of sacrifices, but we stayed together. You see, you're a better person than I am. And it made me a better person to be around you. I don't know, maybe it was all just a dream. Maybe I went to bed one lonely night in December and I imagined it all, but I swear, nothing's ever felt more real. And if you get on that plane right now, it'll disappear forever. I know we could both go on with our lives and we'd both be fine. But I've seen we can be like together. And I choose us.
Welcome to True Crime Brewery, Tie Grabbers. Today we are doing a podcast of the movie Family Man. Something different for the holiday season.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite holiday movies.
Yeah, so this will be fun. So hopefully you've seen it or you're watching it now so you can enjoy it, but we're going to go through it scene by scene. You ready, Dick?
We're going to dissect this sucker, right?
Yes, while we enjoy it. So get your eggnog, your beer, whatever you need, and we'll get started now.
Your handkerchief?
Yes, well, you'll need that. So, I think this movie's about the choices we make in life, and it's definitely about choosing love over money. So let's go through it scene by scene. We start off with young Jack and Kate saying goodbye at the airport. So right. What's going on here?
Well, Jack has accepted a one-year position in London, some fancy bank or something, brokerage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think they're supposed to be in their 20s. This is Nicolas Cage, and Tia Leone is Kate.
Yeah, I think not too much out of college.
Right. I think it's supposed to be after college, although they're really not pulling that off, but I'm going to let that go.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But he's on his way and Tia just doesn't want him to leave. And she says, you know, this feels wrong. Stay here. Don't go. And he says, what do you mean? Don't go at all? Well, yeah. I know it's an incredible opportunity, but I'm really afraid if you get on that plane, I'm not going to see you again.
So they had this plan, I guess, that he was going to go off and do this internship. And she says, Jack, let's flush the plan. Let's choose us. Because she's been accepted at a law school and he's supposed to go to London for this bank internship. So she's trying to talk him out of going, saying how great they'll be if they stay together.
Yeah. So she's saying, basically, forget the damn plan. Let's choose us. Let's be together.
Right.
Starting now, not a year from now.
Exactly, because it's just a one-year internship, I guess.
Yeah. So he says, you know, don't worry, I'm coming back.
Right, so he thinks she's just kind of panicking, but that they'll definitely still be together, even if he goes away for a year.
Huh.
So he says that he loves her, and she thinks he's going to stay, but he says, I love you now, nothing's going to change in a year. Pretty much, right?
Right. I'll be back.
Yep.
1 year, 100 years, it's not going to change how I feel about you.
Huh, but that's not really how it goes, is it?
Well, you know, life takes different turns.
Yeah. Now, you can't do that nowadays, go right to the gate with people. You see this in some of the older movies. So what's the next scene? The next scene is Jack in bed.
So we fast forward to 13 years later.
Yep.
Jack's in bed, reading the financial news.
He's in a Manhattan high-rise, and there's a beautiful model there that he's just spent the night with, apparently.
Yes, she's dressing herself. She just had incredible sex.
Yep.
Well, maybe not just, but had a great night.
Yep.
And he says, let's do this again tonight. And she says, well, it's Christmas Eve, Jack. What are you talking about? I says, so? I got to go visit my folks in Jersey. So he's still trying to get her to come back. And she says, oh, I can't.
Right. She says, it's nice, Christmas Eve.
Nice meeting you, Jack. So this is one of those date night, first date. I don't even know if it's a date.
Who knows? Maybe she's an escort.
No, I don't think she's an escort.
But no.
It was a hookup.
Okay.
That's for sure.
All right. So he's dancing around in his underwear, getting ready for the day. Yep. Christmas Eve morning.
Singing an aria from some opera.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ready. He's got 8 gazillion suits. He looks like he's wealthy.
Well, yeah. His closets are about as big as our house.
Yeah.
Okay, so then he's on the elevator singing the same opera.
He's psyching himself up for the day, and Mrs. Peterson steps on.
Okay, this is an older woman with a little tiny dog, and they have kind of a flirtation. That's about it.
Yes, harmless flirtation.
So what do you think of Jack so far?
Well, right now you think he's pretty much of a dick.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think he's a dick? I mean, just because he's selfish?
Yeah. I mean, he's a big deal on Wall Street or some investment firm, obviously. He's making a ton of money because he lives in this great penthouse apartment. He's picking up women, betting them, see you later. And then he's sort of coming on to the old girl in the elevator. Yeah, he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah. Okay, so he gets in his fancy car.
Oh, it's a Ferrari.
Leaves his apartment building, gets in the Ferrari, and he's driving to his office building.
Yep. He works for Lassiter and Associates, right?
Well, Lassiter's the name of the boss, so I guess so.
That's who it is.
But he does seem like a dick because he just pulls up and tosses his keys to the doorman like...
He's a big deal. He doesn't have to spend much time with the little people.
Okay. So there's a business meeting, and it looks like Jack is pretty much in charge. Maybe he's second to the big boss?
He's pretty much high up there, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got this business meeting, which everyone is excited to be at because it's Christmas Eve. But he's working them because they're working on this huge, big deal. Huge, 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 big deal that they need to close. And they'll make billions of dollars on this deal.
Mm-hmm. Billion-dollar merger. And then he's telling everybody that they're going to have an emergency meeting the next day, which is Christmas Day. So I guess at least this one guy was kind of complaining about it.
Yeah, he was. This is like probably the third guy in the command chain.
Seems like it, yeah.
But so he's saying, you know, it's Christmas, want to be with our families, blah, blah, blah. Jack says, no, this is one of the largest corporate mergers in U.S. history. Got a deal like this, you're going to ride it as far as you can, and we're going to win. After that, it's going to be like Christmas every day around here. We're going to make so much money, you won't even believe it.
Mm.
And Alan is kind of reticent about this, and he says, well...
So Alan's the guy beneath him.
Yeah.
Who is that actor? I've seen that actor before. Short little guy.
Yeah, we just saw him in...
But he's got kids at home, and he wants to get going.
He's Saul Rubinek.
Okay.
His character is Alan Mintz.
So Jack's with, I think this is his secretary, right, Adele?
Adele's his secretary.
So he leaves the meeting, he's with her, and she gives him a message.
Yeah, he's got a phone call.
Kate, his old girlfriend from college, that is Tia Leone, Kate, in the first scene, who didn't want him to go to London, has called him.
Out of the blue.
Yeah.
I guess they haven't had any contact for 12, 13 years.
Right.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, even if plans change and you're not going to come back and marry her, at least some closure would be nice, don't you think?
Well, we don't know what they had for closure.
Well, they didn't have any.
Okay. But the secretary tries to get him to call her, at least see what she wants, but he doesn't want her to do that. He hangs up the phone.
I'm not even curious.
Right. She kind of talks to him, though, like he has a commitment problem. Like he never really has a long-term girlfriend or any kind of commitments. It's workaholic.
work and casual affairs.
Okay. So Peter Lassiter comes into the office after the secretary leaves.
Yeah.
Who's that actor? Do you know? If you don't know, it's okay, but he's been in a lot of stuff. So he seems to be a workaholic too. Jack seems like he wants to be with him, and they're talking about this $130 billion deal that they're working on. That's what the merger is worth.
It's Joseph Summer.
Well, I don't know what he's been in. It's not very helpful to people, but he's an old guy that looks familiar.
Yeah, so they're talking about getting this deal done. Jack's going to see to it that it gets done. And he says to Peter, so, you know, what would you do? You got an old girlfriend who calls you up after all these years, and do you call her back or what? And Peter says, "Pah, of course not."
Well, he says something more crude than that.
He does.
He says, old girlfriends are like tax returns. Keep them in the file cabinet and then toss them or something like that, right?
Right.
Yeah. But during this whole merger talk, Jack agrees that he'll go to Aspen after the meeting on Christmas Day to talk to the guy they're trying to do the merger with.
Right. He's going to see to it that the deal goes through.
That's what he says, right.
And as his secretary walks out of the office looking a little, maybe not pissed, but she's just, you know, I can't believe he's talking like this.
About working on Christmas?
About working on Christmas and about the old girlfriend and stuff. And she's just like rolling her eyes.
But he seems to be thinking about it a little bit, maybe doing some reminiscing because he decides not to drive home. He decides he's going to walk home.
Right. He's going to walk. And he's
just thinking about her, don't you think?
Oh, no question.
Yeah. And then when he gets outside, it wouldn't be a good Christmas movie if it didn't start to snow, which it does.
Well, it has to.
Yeah.
And he's looking up to the heavens, thinking who knows what. But he's got that kind of look on his face. I think he is thinking about his old girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, I think he's still in love with her.
I don't know that I go that far just yet, but he's thinking about her.
Yeah. So he stops at a convenience store to get some eggnog. Comes in out of the snow. He's all dressed up in his business suit and his long coat and his driving gloves. There's also a woman with a baby in the store.
And then the door opens and in comes Don Cheadle.
Yeah, and his name is Cash.
He's Cash, and yep. He's got a winning lottery ticket, and he is all excited.
Yeah, but he looks pretty shady.
He does.
Yeah, like maybe he's done this before.
Well, you think it's a scam, right?
Well, that's what the clerk definitely thinks. He doesn't believe him and refuses to give him any money. And that's when things get kind of risky.
Things go downhill a little bit.
Yeah, the clerk tells him that, you know, he just draws the numbers in and he better get out of there or they're going to call the police. So he won't even look at the ticket.
Yeah, he says, you know, check the ticket. Nah, get out now.
So that's when Cash pulls out a gun.
That's right. There's a little bit more of a threat.
Yeah. And tells him to check the ticket. So he doesn't actually say, this is a robbery, give me money. He just pushes the ticket over to him, but he definitely looks like a wild card that you wouldn't want to be around there when he pulls out a gun.
No, you wouldn't.
No.
Now, here's, this next part gets me a little bit, because all of a sudden Jack steps forward and says, let me see the ticket. You know, maybe we can work some kind of deal here. That just doesn't seem like something a guy like him would do.
That Jack would do?
Yeah. Or a guy like Jack.
Yeah, I guess so, like the original guy. But maybe this is giving us a show that there's actually more to Jack than we see so far. That's kind of how I took it.
Oh, you're more charitable than me.
No? Well, I mean, why would Cash be bothering if he was just a total douchebag?
True. So Jack says, you know, why don't I give you $200 for the ticket? You've got some money. I've got the winning ticket. I'll go cash it at some other store.
Yeah, but you know what? Cash knows Jack's name, so that's our first tip-off that something kind of magical's happening here.
Yeah, he goes strolling down the street, talking, and he's calling him Jack, and Jack says, how do you know my name? And he says, I call you guys Jack.
Right, well, Jack is the kind of name you might call everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Jack acts like he wants to help him, like he thinks he's homeless and on a bad path, which Cash kind of laughs at that. Why does he laugh at that?
Well, I think it's out of character for Jack. And, you know, he's probably heard this stuff before, Cash has.
Oh, okay.
You know, you can change. You can make something of yourself. He laughs, he hands Jack back his eggnog, and they part.
Well, I think the big thing they say to each other before they separate, though, is that Cash asks him what he needs. And Jack says he has everything he needs. And that's when Cash says that he brought this all on himself.
You brought this on yourself.
And he right. wishes them a Merry Christmas, and they go their separate ways.
And off they go.
But this is where the whole spell has been set, I think, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Jack gets home, goes to sleep in his penthouse apartment by himself.
Right.
And he sleeps a good night's sleep, and he wakes up the next morning, and oh, man.
Yep, it's Christmas morning.
What's going on? It's Christmas morning.
And he's in a suburban New Jersey bedroom.
He's not in his bed.
Nope.
Or not in his bedroom.
He's with Kate. But he doesn't really know that. But two kids come into the room and a big dog.
Yeah, he's trying to figure out, oh, God, where am I? And all these kids jump in.
Well, it's not all these kids.
Both these kids.
Yeah.
And he's dressed and hops downstairs and there's his mother-in-law and father-in-law coming in.
Yeah, but he went to bed in these fancy underwear and he woke up in a T-shirt and pajama pants.
Yep.
So that's kind of weird.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's weird that he doesn't wake up in his house or right. his apartment.
Right. So he goes downstairs to get away from the kids and Kate because he doesn't know what the hell's going on. And he sees his in-laws, who he knows because when he was with Kate, he knew her parents. So he knows who these people are. And I know the man's name is Ed. I forget what the mother's name is. But he wants to use the Cadillac, and Ed says, you know, here, just use the van. Because they have a minivan, of course.
Well, of course. You live in Jersey. You got two kids. You need a minivan.
Right. So he hops in the minivan and heads back to the city.
Into the city.
And that's a pretty cool scene they show. It's kind of fake, but it shows the whole skyline.
Yeah, with the Twin Towers.
Yeah, yeah. So he gets to his apartment building,
yes.
and he's dressed kind of like a homeless guy. He doesn't look good.
Doesn't look real good, and he's saying, oh, Tony, to the doorman, thank God. And Tony says, well, basically, who the hell are you?
Right, right.
And then his sort of girlfriend, his flirt, comes along, and he says, Mrs. Peterson, you know, tell Tony who I am. She doesn't know. Who the hell are you? So neither of these people know Jack. And they should.
Right.
Because he's lived there for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And it sees them on a day-to-day basis. They have no idea who he is.
Well, it's kind of like It's a Wonderful Life, except in A Wonderful Life, he's never been born. So no one knows him. But I guess in this case, he made this other choice when he was younger. So he's never been down there.
So he's never lived in his penthouse.
Exactly. So they said that they'll help him get into a homeless shelter, which he seems to be insulted by that. So he gets back in the van.
Yeah, they totally blow him off.
Well, they think he's a crazy homeless person. They do try and get him help, or they mention that they could get him help at least.
Yeah.
But they don't, because he takes off. Although he has a hard time getting the van started.
Well,
kind of a piece of shit van.
Got a few years on it.
And it looks really cold.
Then he pulls up in front of his office building, and he goes in, and there's the security guy, Frank, and he says, oh, Frank, you can't believe what's happening to me. And Frank says, basically, who are you? Frank says, I don't know who you are. And Nick is saying, oh, I'm Jack Campbell. And he walks over to the nameplate, and whoa, there's Alan Mintz's name there, and not Jack.
Right, he's the president, so Jack must have been the president.
Yeah, Jack was in charge behind Lasseter. He's mm-hmm. in charge. So he's basically leaving there. He doesn't know.
Well, when he goes running out into the street, he sees Cash, who's driving his Ferrari.
Yep.
And he's dressed very nicely.
Yeah.
So he does let him in the car. And the Jack's yelling at him, that's my car.
Yep. And Jack wants to know what's going on. Cash says, you know, hop in. I'll explain everything to you.
Yeah, but he doesn't really.
Well, no. But this is just to get Jack going.
Well, he tells him that you're having a glimpse of an alternate universe in order to learn a lesson. So he does tell him that much.
Yeah.
But he says it's something he has to figure out on his own. Jack's hyperventilating. Cash actually gives him a bicycle bell, but doesn't explain what that's for, which will come into play later with the daughter getting a new bike for Christmas.
That's right.
So Cash kind of tells him that he'll talk to him outside because Jack won't give up. And as soon as Jack gets out of the car, Cash takes off in the car.
Yep. He's going to explain everything, but he doesn't.
Right. No, he doesn't. He leaves him behind with just the bell, pretty much.
Yep.
He was kind of driving like a madman, too.
Yeah. Well, he's protected. He knows how to do that stuff.
He does?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's somebody from beyond.
Is that what he is? I don't really know. I guess we're supposed to think he's like an angel or something.
I thought he's like an angel.
Yeah.
When you use a wonderful life analogy, it's an angel. He's
okay.
An angel.
All right.
Jack gets out of the car holding the bell and hops back into the trustworthy old minivan. Heads back to suburbia.
Yeah, so now he has to find himself back to the house. Find his way back.
Yeah. So he gets back and he's trying to figure out, he can't remember where he lives, obviously. He tore out of there, but he doesn't know quite where he lives. So he first stops at a guy's house who's outside. He says, hey, do you know where such and such street is? And the guy's his best friend. Jack, where you been?
Yeah, so this is Jeremy Piven playing his friend Arnie.
Yeah.
And Arnie takes Jack into his man cave with a bar and talks to him. And he's taking what Jack says as far as being confused about where he is and everything as like, you know, having doubts about why he's married and has kids and all that. They play with that a lot in this movie. But Jack learns that Kate's his wife, and Arnie gives him a bit of a pep talk about family life in the suburbs and takes Jack back to his house, where Kate's on the phone worried, looking for him, and she's really upset.
She is totally freaked out.
Yeah, because he took off on Christmas Day.
Yeah, and her parents come over, they're going to have the family breakfast and open presents and stuff like that, and Jack's gone.
Right.
So, and then she hits him up with, well, we've got the party to go to tonight, and he says, oh, no, I'm not going to a party. So off they go to the party, because Jack decides he'd rather go to the party than babysit the kids.
Well, yeah, those are pretty much his options. But before they go, he just tries ringing that bell like he thinks that Don Cheadle's going to come back.
Yeah, he does.
So he just looks like kind of a nut.
He does. And the little girl is kind of onto him. His daughter is thinking, this isn't my daddy.
Oh, she knows right away, yeah.
He might look like my daddy, but he's not my daddy.
Well, and this is kind of a popular trope in TV and movies.
Sure.
That kids can see things that the people can't.
So they go to the house party.
Right.
Jack's hitting the booze because he needs it. And
he's
talking with Jeremy Piven and a couple other guys. And it's obvious he's trying to follow the conversation, but he doesn't know really what they're talking about. And they catch him a little bit. But he blunders through. He does okay.
Yeah.
And one of the guys says, I'm having surgery tomorrow. I'm going to have a bypass. And Jack makes sort of a joke. Maybe not a joke, but he says, you know, maybe you shouldn't be eating that shit if you're going to have bypass surgery.
Yeah. Yeah, how does that work? Do you know? If you're getting a bypass, don't you have to be on a special diet for a while or anything?
No.
No?
Well.
So he could actually be doing that.
I guess I shouldn't say no. You probably should have been on a diet a long time ago.
Well, yeah. For the surgery. You don't have to be. Oh, okay.
No, but assuming he'd been seeing a cardiologist, he would have been on a diet. That's the first step.
Well, you know, not everybody listens to that stuff, though. That's for sure. But then there's this woman. I think it's at her house the party's happening. Evelyn?
It's her house.
Mm-hmm. Pretty red-haired woman.
Yeah, and it's obvious that she wants to do... I shouldn't say it that way. It's obvious that she has a thing for Jack.
Yes, definitely. She's very flirtatious, very dressed up.
Yep.
Yep.
That's to get Jack's interest.
Yep, so Kate's over talking to some women, talking about her job, and I guess it was her daughter made her a shirt and forgot the W in lawyers. Was that the story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Layers do it best or something like that.
Right. And she's a nonprofit lawyer, so... I guess she does get some kind of a salary, but they don't make any profit, so she doesn't make much money.
No. And they get home from the party, and oh, gotta walk the dog. Jack says, not my dog. And she says, you're right, it's the kid's dog. Why don't we go wake them up and have them go walk her?
It's a big dog.
Yeah. Cool looking animal.
Yeah, nice dog.
There they go.
But they're good at making it look so miserable and cold out. Everything looks frozen and cold. Looks like where I grew up in Michigan in the winter.
Well, I think it's kind of pretty.
Well, if you're looking at the lights and the lawns, yes, but when you're just looking at it walking down the street with the dog and everything's frozen, it kind of looks miserable.
Yeah, I still like it. It's calming.
Okay. So he walks the dog and comes back. And he's got flannel pajamas there that he's supposed to wear, I guess.
Those are his nighttime jammies. Looking good. Nice tartan plaid.
Yeah.
So, and he does. He puts them on, and the next scene is it's morning.
Yeah, he wakes up to a crying baby.
Yep, and his wife's not there.
No. She's in the shower. She's singing Beast of Burden, great song by the Rolling Stones.
She's showering, and he says, the baby's crying. She says, well, you take care of it, basically.
Yeah, but he says it kind of funny, right? He says, that baby's crying.
That baby's crying.
Yeah. But it must be his day to take care of the kids in the morning. So she pretty much tells him it's his turn. But you can kind of see her naked figure dancing around in there, so he looks a little uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, I don't know why he's uncomfortable with that. I mean, he's a horn dog.
Well.
Or in his previous life he was.
Well, we don't know that. We know he hooked up with someone. That's all we really know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm reading more into it.
You probably are, but that's all right. So she tells Jack, she opens the shower door, tells Jack it's his turn to take Annie to school and Josh to daycare. Those are the two little kids.
Yeah.
Annie's like, what, 5 or 6?
Yeah, around there. And Josh is what, a 2-year-old?
At the most, yeah.
1.5, 2, yeah. Somewhere.
He's not really walking, so maybe like around 1-year-old. Chubby baby, though. They're both really cute, of course.
Well, they have to be. We don't have ugly babies.
So we get the obligatory scene of Jack changing a diaper.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
The obligatory scene.
Yeah.
And he's looking at, Holy Mother of God.
He looks so disgusted.
And he has to ask Annie, oh, what do I do with it? And she tells him what to do.
Yeah. But she knows it's not her dad.
Yeah.
She thinks he's an alien. Mm. So I know it's kind of silly, but this is a cute scene. I like it. I like how she kind of tells him what to do. The baby pees on him.
Yeah, and laughs.
Yep.
It's a good stream.
That's good. I'm glad he passes that. So she says to him, you're not really my dad, are you?
And he says, no, I'm not. That'll freak the poor little kid out.
I know, right? Well, he tells her that he works on Wall Street, lives in an apartment, and he can buy anything he wants because he has a lot of money. He says, this isn't my life. This is just a glimpse. But she gets almost like she's going to cry then, asking where her real dad is.
Where's my real dad? He doesn't have an answer for that, does he?
No, but he's pretty good. He says, you know, I guarantee you he'll be back and he loves you. So that was quick thinking.
Well, I guess that's what you kind of have to say.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be this guy who has no experience with kids, and he does actually pretty well with this.
Well, he's a natural.
Oh, okay. That might be it. I didn't think of that. But how cute is it when she takes the little chair over to him and she actually touches his face?
Yeah.
And gives him a good look.
And she just wants to check.
Yeah. Tells him, you know, the aliens really did a pretty good job.
They did a great job because he really looked like them.
Yeah, she's adorable.
You don't fool me.
I think then she just wants him to make her some chocolate milk.
Wants to make sure he knows how to make chocolate milk.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
That's the big thing.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to say about that scene?
No, we're going to go to the breakfast table, and then he's out and around dropping kids off.
Right.
So, first stop is baby Josh. Annie's coaching him. She's telling him what he should be doing.
This is where babies go when you go to work. And he takes the baby over. Of course, he holds the baby kind of outstretched in an awkward way.
Yeah. Plus, he can't figure out how to unlatch the child seat.
No, and he helps him with that, too.
So, and off we go.
Well, I love it when he hands over the baby and he says, do I get a receipt?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Which, you know, if you didn't know, I could kind of see that. You need proof that the baby's there. Not a bad idea, really.
Yeah, it's true.
So then he takes Annie to school, and Annie tells him her whole after-school schedule. She's got different classes and whatnot.
Yeah, so she needs him to be picking her up at 5:30.
Right, not to be late.
Don't be late. because I don't want to be one of those girls that sits here forever waiting for somebody to pick me up. So make sure you're on time.
Yeah, and he doesn't know where he works. He has to ask her now. Yeah.
So where do I go? And she says, it's Big Ed's.
Big Ed's, because I work there.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yep.
Not what Jack had in mind.
No, but he must have had some idea that he wasn't a big shot, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
He woke up where he woke up, so he knows that. He might not have figured out that he was a tire salesman necessarily.
Yeah, there's just something about being a tire salesman that doesn't feel very exciting. I mean, he's not even a person who's an expert on putting on tires or anything. He just sells them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Big Ed's the father-in-law, of course. He's got the kind of the Western look going on.
And he gets there and he's walking into the work area and everybody's saying hi to him. How are you doing? Blah, blah, blah.
Well, of course, they all know him. He's the kind of the boss there, right?
They all know him and apparently they all like him. Nobody's turning their back on him or anything like that.
Oh, no, this Jack seems very well liked.
So he's a good worker.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the thing. I think he seems a lot more likable in this life. And I think that's something he says at the end about how she makes him a better man. That he's a better person when he's with her.
You stole that line.
Well, that's the Jack Nicholson line from As Good As It Gets. But it basically says a similar thing. Means about the same thing.
Yeah, it does.
So he has to get directions to where his office is from one of the workers there. And he's not real impressed with his office. It's a little bit shabby. And it's not like his other office was at all.
More than a little bit.
Yeah.
So he sits down and he's looking around and there's a bottle of scotch in one of the drawers.
Yep, he sees a bowling trophy. Lots of kids' pictures on the door. Yeah,
very homey.
Yeah. Then he also looks up and sees this plaque for E.F. Hutton, number one junior sales associate, 1988. Now, I think that's just a year after the airplane scene.
That is.
Is that right? The airport scene?
That's just a year.
So how do you like that trophy? Bowlers do it in the alley.
That's a good spot.
But they refer to that kind of a thing twice with the Layers t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Nonprofit Layers do it for free, I think it said. And then this. No, Glenlivet is the whiskey he has.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay, so it's not terrible.
So, and he looks at it and he says, I'll bet he needed you every day.
Yep, he's got a little paper coffee cup. I think I'd get really ill.
So, and did you catch, not to harp on this too much, but when he's looking at the picture or the plaque or the E.F. Hutton thing.
Yeah.
That would suggest that he never went to London.
Right. I think he even says something like that. I should have been in London then or something.
Yeah. I was in London in 1988. So what was I doing getting the junior sales associate?
Well, then he sees a picture of him and Kate at their wedding.
Yeah. He says, I never went to London.
Right.
Whoa.
And then kind of funny, he says to the picture of himself, what could you possibly be smiling about? So he thinks he never went there. And that's why this happened. But yeah, he does seem well-liked around the office.
He is. And I got to say, he must be a bright enough guy, right? To have some insight in terms of what's going on.
What do you mean?
Well, He knows that this is a glimpse for him of what might have been.
True,
And he's smart enough to kind of roll with it.
Well, what else can he do, really, though?
Well, he could do a lot. He could be...
Yeah, I guess he could just be totally psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then he's back at the house in New Jersey. He's sitting in the bed alone, and he's watching CNBC. He sees Alan Mintz doing the merger that he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and he's pissed. Well, maybe not pissed, but he says, yeah, that's mine. That's my deal. I did this.
Right. But Kate comes in, turns off the TV. The kids have fallen asleep. So this is their chance to do it.
And she says, kids are asleep. Let's fuck. Oh, I didn't think, she didn't say it that way, did she?
No, she didn't. I don't think they even use the fuck word in this movie.
No.
This is a family movie.
It is. So she's getting pretty frisky, though.
Yeah, she is.
And Jack's sitting there thinking, okay. But he's a little reticent about this.
Well, which, yeah.
Well, I can see it, but I can't see it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, even if this is someone who was from a long time ago. It still is somebody important in his life. And now it turns out in this alternate universe, he's married to her.
Right, yeah.
Why wouldn't he be making love with her?
Well, that's true. But he seems to like be afraid that he might be taking advantage of her because he's not really him. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I think that's as good an explanation as any.
But he does tell her how beautiful she is.
Yeah. And not just that she's beautiful, but she's more beautiful.
Right, right. More beautiful than when they were in their 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she seems to like that.
Well, I would.
And this is where she says the line, "How do you look at me like you haven't seen me every day for the past 13 years?
That's right.
She's going to go get a sexy negligee on.
Yeah.
So she runs to the bathroom.
And she's not just the negligee, putting a little makeup on. And she goes out and vamps for him a little. And uh-oh, Jack passed out. Well, not passed out. He's sound asleep.
Yeah, but he's faking. Because she puts on her regular pajamas and gets into bed. And we see that he was just faking. So I guess he didn't think it would be the right thing to do to have sex with her. Which, I don't know, I'm on the fence about that.
Well, I
guess it should be genuine. You don't want to be doing it having her think that it's a different situation than it really is.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, that's his whole life is kind of casual sex.
Yeah, so, yeah, but not with her, I guess.
Well, apparently not.
But this is just a glimpse, so it's very confusing for me. Are she and the kids even real? Because it's a glimpse.
It's a glimpse.
But they kind of make you feel like it's real, but how could it really be real? And if I think too much about that, I get into kind of a tizzy about it.
Yeah, don't think about it.
Because what happens to the kids? But anyway, next scene, it's the next day, I guess, and they're out on a family shopping trip at the mall. We hear that Annie needs some new Mary Jane shoes. They're walking through the Bloomingdale's men's department, and Jack starts being really whiny.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Why don't we visit every goddamn store in this mall? Wouldn't that be exciting? So Tia says, you know, why don't I take the kids? We'll do some shopping. You can go hang out in the men's department and we'll pick you back up later. Fine. So he's in there looking at things and he finds the suit.
Well, the salesman comes over, tells him it's perfect for his build or his frame. So he's going to try it on.
Yeah. He says, let me try it.
And this is, I guess, would be like the suits he's used to wearing.
Well, sure.
And, you know, when you saw his closet in New Jersey, it was a huge step down. He had like a few shirts, a few coats, not much at all.
Well, he didn't have any dress-up stuff.
No, not at all.
And in his closet in his penthouse in New York was, I mean, there must have been 2 dozen suits.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those really crazy closets with all the shoe drawers and everything. And he had dozens of suits.
Yeah, so he's trying on this particular suit. And he's liking it. And he says, it makes me feel better about myself. And Tia comes up. She says, yeah, you do look good. And he says, I'm going to buy it. She looks at the price tag and almost faints. She says, it's $2,400, Jack. Forget about it.
Well, yeah, they can't afford that.
No, but he's being stubborn.
He is. He says, no, I want the suit like a big baby.
Yeah.
And then he's very insulting about their life, which I think really hurts her feelings here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about a day in the life, really, with her. How he has to wake up, walk the dog, take care of the kids, go to work, come home, take care of the kids, read to the kids, get them to bed, and then start all over again. So he doesn't paint a very flattering picture of his life with her in New Jersey as a dad and a husband.
Yeah, I know. Just when you're starting to think, okay, he's basically a decent human. He acts like a dick again.
Yeah, right. So they have a little argument.
Yeah, and she says, hey, I'm sorry that your life is such a disappointment.
Yeah, and he says, well, it should be a disappointment to you. What the hell? How could you do this to me? How could you let me give up on my dreams like this? Yeah. You know, and the salesman's there. It's kind of quite a scene.
Well, he discreetly walked away.
Yeah, right. There's a little bit of Cage overacting there, which I enjoy. I always enjoy that.
He's emoting.
Yeah. Right. So Kate just says, well, I'm sorry it's disappointing. If you need the suit to feel like a man or whatever, go ahead.
Yeah. If you need it, buy it.
And he says, oh, forget it, damn it. Because she says they'd have to take the money out of the kid's college fund. So he says, well, you know, I'll get the fucking funnel cake or whatever.
Yeah.
And it'll be the highlight of my life. But then when they're driving home.
Well, driving home, he's contrite about it.
Yeah, he apologizes.
He says, I'm sorry for being such a jerk.
And this is when he learns more about what actually happened after the airport interaction between them in this scenario, in this alternate life.
Right.
She got pregnant with Annie. Her dad, Big Ed, had a heart attack. So,
yeah, I mean, well,
Jack went in and took over.
We know that he was the associate of the year at E.F. Hutton, so it looked like he was starting to have a career. Maybe not quite what he imagined.
Right.
But at least it was going to be in finance, and he was going to do okay. Until Big Ed had the heart attack, and somebody needed to step up and manage the store.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's where that first turn, maybe not the first turn, that's where that turn comes.
Yeah. So they kind of seem to connect positively at that point in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have plans, and things don't always go as planned, right?
Exactly. Right. So what happens after that?
So they have that conversation. It sounds like they're okay. And they get home and then, boom, we're in the bowling alley.
Yeah.
So apparently, well, we already know that he was a bowler because he's got that trophy on his desk at Big Ed's place.
Yeah. So this just isn't fun bowling. This is a league. They have matching shirts.
Yeah. No, this is major stuff. And apparently Jack is a very good bowler, but the Jack in Wall Street isn't.
Right. So he thinks he's doing great, and the rest of the team looks like, oh, he kind of sucks.
Yeah, he throws a ball and knocks six pins down, and he's going, yeah.
Right.
So, but he's playing crappy, and he's going to get a beer, get some drinks, and who does he see?
Yeah, the neighbor, Evelyn. And Evelyn's a bowler, too. She's got the bowling gear on. But you almost wonder, did she just go there to run into him? Because she's really after him.
She is. So, and they're talking and flirting. And he says, you know, wait, you know, do we have something going on?
Yeah, so he comes right out and asks her. And she pretty much tells him that she would like to have an affair with him, that he's the reason she gets all dressed up and does this and that, because she really is attracted to him for a long time now.
Yeah.
So Jack seems to like that. So well, we see some of the old Jack there, I guess.
Again, we're going back to the old Jack.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Wherever I can get laid, I'll do it.
Yep. So he actually goes over to his friend Arnie and says, you know, give me your number. Like he's going to go through with it.
Yeah.
But Arnie's like, no way. Talks him out of cheating on Kate because he said, you know, everybody loves Kate. You can't blow it. You don't want to blow it because she's the best.
You don't want to be messing around outside your marriage.
No, it'll only lead to trouble.
That's what Arnie says.
Yep. So you can't really tell there if Jack's going to follow his advice or not. But I guess he does, because we don't see anything about an affair happening.
No, except for some brief appearances. That's the last time we see Evelyn.
I think so.
That's the last time we see Evelyn and Jack talking to each other.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jack comes home from bowling, and Kate looks like she's sitting at the table paying bills and eating chocolate cake.
Yeah. And he says, is that chocolate cake still in the fridge?
So this is a great scene.
This was.
Yeah. He's looking for that piece of chocolate cake, and she says, this chocolate cake?
Yeah. Oh, that's my piece. Give it.
So she gets up with the cake, and he's chasing her around for the cake. This is what we refer to as the chocolate cake scene.
Give me that cake.
Mm-hmm.
She says, no, I'm sorry. It's too important to me.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it.
That's a good line. I like that.
Yeah. He makes a move to get it. She takes off and she's climbing the stairs and he tackles her on the stairs and they're laughing and she smushes the cake in his face.
Yeah. So this is a romantic moment.
I guess so.
We think they're going to make love there, but then she wants him to say to her what he always does, and he doesn't know what that is, and he says some stupid dirty talk to her, which she seems really angry about.
Well, that's not what he usually says to her.
Right.
He messed up.
Yeah. So she takes off. She says, really good, Jack. Thanks a lot. And they don't have sex.
No, they don't.
Nope. So she storms upstairs. He goes and pours himself a drink. And he's looking through some VHS home movie tapes.
Yeah, he's sitting in the family room, TV room, finds some old VHS, one of Jack singing. So in it goes. He's going to watch it.
Yep. So it turns out being one of Kate's birthday parties. And this is where we see him singing to her.
It's a nice scene. I like this one.
Yeah, it is nice.
So we're at the party.
And Evelyn's at the party. And when he's singing to Kate, you can see her looking kind of sad.
Well, yeah.
Because she likes him. But she does have a husband there that seems perfectly nice.
That doesn't mean anything, does it?
No, I guess not. This is a backyard party in the summer.
So, and it's Kate's birthday, and he's going to sing to her.
Yeah. Now, the triple bypass guy is playing the piano. And why was that triple bypass guy bowling? Because I thought he was supposed to have surgery. Could he have been back from surgery already? Has that much time passed?
I don't know how much time has elapsed.
But when can you bowl after heart surgery? I would think it'd be a while. I think they made a mistake there.
Well, I think it's gradual resumption of activity.
Yeah, but if it's only a few days and he's bowling, that doesn't make sense.
It's not a few days. Plus, they had to crack his chest to do the open heart surgery, the bypass surgery.
Well, yeah, that proves my point.
And that takes a lot of recovery time.
That's what I'm saying.
You feel like you got an elephant sitting on your chest every time you try to do something.
Well, that's why I think that they made a mistake having him at the bowling alley. Because it can't be more than a couple weeks.
Well, I mean, this is all compressed time, so it's not a lot of time.
No, it's not.
So, yeah. He clearly hadn't had the surgery when he was at the bowling alley.
Didn't seem like it, no.
So
what's this song he sings to her? It's an I Love You song.
I love you.
So it's very romantic.
It was.
Yeah.
I took it that way.
And he seems to enjoy watching it.
Yeah. He's looking at the scene again, saying, ah, yeah.
He looks a little teary, though.
Well, yeah.
Well, the next morning, he wakes up, the dog licks his face, and he seems kind of an automatic pilot to go take care of the kids and the dog and whatever.
Yeah, he knows what to do.
But as soon as he leaves the room, Kate jumps up all excited, so we learn this is their wedding anniversary.
Yep.
And of course, he doesn't know that.
He hasn't a clue, so he's going to be in deep, well, maybe not deep trouble, but in trouble.
Well, yeah, she's upset because he was never one to forget. He always used to make a big deal of it.
Yep, they always make a big deal of it.
Yep.
But, you know, he warms up the bottle for the baby. He goes in, good morning, Josh. He said it's already that he's kind of in that routine, that husband-dad routine.
That's true. So how much time do you think has passed?
Not much time.
No, because there's still snow.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's still winter. Not like several months have elapsed.
No. So Kate is excited to give him a knockoff suit that looks a little bit like the one that he liked at Bloomingdale's. She says she found it at an outlet store.
It's a very little bit like the other one. It's a darker green. It's not a very attractive suit.
No, it isn't.
I'm
but,
not going to
wear
know. It.
He seems to appreciate the effort, though. He seems kind of touched by it.
Yeah.
But then she's waiting for her present from him, and he doesn't have anything. So she's pretty heartbroken that he forgot about the anniversary.
Yeah, because he always makes a big deal of it.
Yeah. So he's making chocolate milk for Annie, and she's the one that says anniversary, really cute. And he's kind of asking Annie advice. What should he do?
Yeah.
She tells him that before he's gotten her a star, named a star after her, which he thinks was pretty corny. But I guess Kate liked it. And he says, well, maybe he'll go buy her some earrings. But Annie doesn't think that's going to work. So then he decides he's going to take her to the city. And I think he takes her for dinner and overnight.
Yeah. No, this is big time.
So it's a nice thing.
Going to take her to a 5-star restaurant.
Yep.
And
what?
We're going to have this sumptuous meal.
Very expensive meal.
Very expensive meal. And then they're going to spend the night in a hotel.
Yep. So it's a very romantic dinner. I don't like what Tia does with her hair here. I thought it was much cuter in the day-to-day look. She's put it up in some weird curls or something. Not a big fan. But it looks like they're having a good time, right?
Yeah. No, there's definitely a good time there.
I mean, even though it's the kind of place where you don't dance, they get up and dance around.
Yeah.
Kind of a romantic little dance.
And then they go to the hotel room and he carries her across the threshold.
Yeah, they have champagne. So they talk a little bit about life choices again here while they're at dinner too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, you know, he gets out of the doghouse. He did a wonderful thing for her.
Yeah, I guess. But she's kind of saying, you know, she likes her life the way it is. And I don't think he really gets that yet.
No, he doesn't.
He thinks that, you know, she should have more possessions and more upscale life to be happy.
Well, he's remembering his old life, right?
Yeah.
And thinking, here my wife's an attorney. She ought to be bringing in the bucks. But she works pro bono.
Right. And then at the hotel that night, he tells her that he's always loved her. So we know he's having some realizations here. So I think at this point he really wants to be with her and the kids, but he wants to change their financial situation, maybe their living situation.
Yeah, because he knows he can do it.
Right, but you can see he's pretty happy there. Like he's reading the paper the next morning, and Annie walks by practicing the violin. And yeah. Then when he goes to work at Big Ed's, Kate gives him this passionate kiss.
Shall I wear today? I think I'll wear the usual. Which is a blue shirt and a tie.
And the tie has Big Ed on it.
Yeah. And the shirt has his name on it.
Well, of course.
So we know who we're talking to when we're buying tires.
Exactly. So that day, though, at the tire store, Jack sees his old boss, Peter Lassiter, because he has a blowout on his Rolls Royce.
Limps his car into the lot.
So Jack thinks this is his opportunity to get in with Lassiter and maybe get back where he was. But still have the family, have it all, right?
Right. He can work it through the back door, so to speak.
Right. So when he's in the office with Lassiter talking about when his tire will be in, because they have to special order it, of course, he gives him a whole talk about the merger and business stuff that he knows, kind of trying to show off his knowledge and his business sense. And you think that Lester's pretty much buying into it, but then he says, now about my car?
Yeah.
But then he's getting up to leave, and he gives Jack his card. And he tells Jack, hey, why don't you deliver the car to the office yourself?
Right. So he's interested in what Jack has to say.
Right. Pretty much saying he will meet with him.
Yeah.
Maybe show him around the office a little bit.
Yeah. And that's happy Jack.
Yep. So it's a couple of days later. He's at the office. Alan Mintz is there, and the office is different under Alan being the president.
Yeah, well, Alan's office, he's got childcare duties. He's got a playpen and sleeping stuff. He's got his golden retriever there. It's very family-oriented, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. But Alan still is kind of a hard ass.
Yeah, well, so they talk to him, and it looks like Lassiter's going to offer him a job.
Yeah. Well, he has to kind of give him the hard sell, though. Tell him, you know, I know that I just work in tires and the money there is like nothing to you, but selling is selling. Yeah. So he has a funny moment with Alan as well, kind of telling Alan that he just loves how more aggressive he is now. And of course, Alan doesn't think he knows this guy.
No, Alan has no idea who this guy is.
Right.
Jack knows Alan, but Alan doesn't know Jack.
Right.
And they're looking around, just getting showed around, just Alan and Jack. And Alan says, you know, let's cut the shit. I don't know what's going on. You're going to be working here. Lassiter's going to get tired of you because that's how it works.
Right, because you're just a tire salesman.
Yeah.
But he does get offered a contract to work at the old firm. And he seems pretty happy with the salary and the perks that are offered.
Yeah.
So the next scene, he takes Kate to see this company apartment that the company has offered. The family can stay there until they can buy their own place. So the family can move to New York, and this is a very luxurious apartment.
It doesn't begin to describe it, you know?
Yeah.
It is someplace.
But Kate doesn't like it. She's kind of angry that he went ahead and made these plans without her, for one thing.
Well, yeah. This was a decision he made on his own. He didn't consult her, right?
Right.
That's the biggest thing that bothers her. And this is a huge decision. They're going to leave New Jersey, move to the city. She doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, but I can kind of see that if you're in the mode of thinking that this is the best thing, you'd just assume that person would be happy about this. Most people would be.
From Jack's standpoint, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, he's saying, look what I've done. I'm going to double or triple my salary. We're going to be able to afford things that we didn't think we'd ever be able to.
Right.
But T is looking at it as, you're asking me to give up everything we've done for these past 12, 13 years.
Right, their whole life. So she doesn't want to do that. But then they're back home. Jack's sitting in the living room having a drink. So he's sitting in the living room. He pours himself a drink. He looks and sees the plane ticket. So he did go to London, but he came back.
But he came back the next day.
Right. And then Kate comes over to him and says, you know, that if he really needs to go to the city, that she'll do it. She'll move the kids out of their schools, then the house that she loves, even though she believed that they'd grow old together in that house and their grandkids would visit. But if he needs to move to the city, she says she'll move with him because she loves him and she chooses us.
She chooses us.
Yep.
And the address isn't as important as being together.
And I think he agrees with all that because I think he's really fallen into wanting to just keep this life after that.
Yeah.
I think he's given up all the other stuff for a while.
And then we have a nice little scene. Next morning, she wakes up, looks out the window, and there's Jack and Annie running around the yard.
Playing in the snow.
Playing in the snow, having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
She's sitting on him, and she says, now you're back, or I knew you'd come back, or something like that.
Yeah, I knew you'd come back.
He's acting like Dad now, and not the alien.
Right. Yeah. So they hug each other, and he tells her he loves her. So this is a very sweet scene. So Annie is coming into the garage when Jack is getting some salt out for the driveway, and she's ringing the bicycle bell on her bike, and this seems to concern Jack, like he thinks he's going to be pulled away.
Yeah, there's something about this, and he was never told by Cash, Don Cheadle, that the bell ringing was significant.
No, and he rung it before, and it didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But it seems to mean something when she comes and does it.
So he's got to get some salt, so he drives to the local 7-Eleven or whatever it is, and picks up a bag of salt. And who's behind the register? Cash.
Mm-hmm.
So he walks up, and there's a young lady in front of him buying a Coke.
Yeah, but he gives her too much change.
Yeah, I like this. She gave him $1, and he pretended it was a $10 bill, and he gave her $9 and some change. And she's sitting there looking at things, trying to think. And Jack's talking to Cash, and he's saying, you know, you can't send me back. I'm staying here. I want to stay here.
Well, yeah, he's demanding to stay in his current life. He says he has kids and that this guy can't be messing around.
That's right.
But Cash tells him, you know, a glimpse, by definition, is not permanent.
Right. And he's given this young lady change for a 10 when she only gave him a 1. She's looking kind of puzzled, and he says, everything okay? And she says, yeah.
Well, I don't know if she's puzzled. I think she's debating whether to be honest or not, and she chooses not to be.
Yeah, that was being puzzled.
Oh, okay. So that's disappointing. But Jack is just like warning Cash, that's it. Leave me alone. I'm happy the way I am now or whatever.
Yeah.
He says, I'm not going back.
Okay, Jack, relax. Well, you can't keep doing this. You can't keep coming into people's lives and messing them up.
Yeah, but it's a glimpse.
An impermanent thing.
So Jack pretty much knows this is the end of the line for the glimpse.
Well, he's thinking it could be.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how much Cash is going to listen to him.
Well, no, he's not going to, right?
Well, but we don't know that for sure.
Well, I guess.
But we're thinking, you know, we're 1.5, 2 hours into the movie. It's getting to be some conclusions here.
Well, so Jack doesn't want to go to sleep because he knows that he'll wake up in the old life, right?
Well, I guess that's why he's doing that. I just don't know why he figured out if he falls asleep, he's going to wake up back in his old place.
Well, because that's how it happened the first time. And why was that Cash there if he wasn't there because he's going to have a change
again?
Yeah,
that's true. That's just going to reinforce things. Okay.
Right, exactly.
So he stops in Josh's room and caresses his head. Then he stops in Annie's room, gives her a little kiss on the cheek.
He goes over to Kate, right, and he says something like, don't forget the way I am right now. makes her a little nervous. Like, why is he talking like this? Because he wants her to remember this glimpse, but she really can't. Because she's not really part of it, I guess.
She's not.
Not sure how these glimpses work.
It's his glimpse.
Right, it's not her glimpse.
And if it was her glimpse, it'd be totally different for her.
That's true. You think so? So if she had the alternate life where they stayed together, it would be different?
Yes.
So then that brings me back to what happens to these kids? They're not real?
No, none of this is real.
Okay, but it seems like very real, and it's the biggest part of the movie, well, so that's a little hard to accept.
It's real for Jack.
Yeah.
But none of these people exist the way he sees them.
Okay. But for the kids, that means they don't exist at all.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's kind of sad then. I could see why he doesn't want to go to sleep. He'll never see them again. So he does finally kiss Kate goodnight, and he does sit up in the chair while she's sleeping, trying to stay awake.
Yep. He's fighting sleep.
Which we know is not going to work.
When you got to sleep, you got to sleep, right?
Yeah, we've seen this in Groundhog Day. We've seen it in a lot of movies.
So he takes the dog out, lets him loose, and the dog takes off.
Yeah, why is that? Why does he do that?
I think it's because he knows he's going back, and he wants to set the dog free. I don't know.
See, I kind of thought maybe that's just what he did with the dog. He took him down to the park and let him run around for a few minutes. He might not have set the dog free. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, because he's going to be free too.
All right. Okay, so he wakes up back in his Manhattan apartment alone, which he's not super surprised, but he's unhappy.
Not just alone, it's Christmas Day.
Yep.
So it's like he went to sleep Christmas Eve, woke up the next morning, none of the stuff that happened in his glimpse, he doesn't have any idea how long it took. So kind of like all those Scrooge movies and stuff. You know, you do all this stuff over time, but in reality, the dream is overnight.
Yeah, so it is just kind of like a dream if you look at it that way. So he's kind of disappointed. He gets up and he's still wearing his like shabby clothes.
Yeah.
And the model came back and she's at the door in a negligee saying Merry Christmas. And he doesn't believe it's Christmas. He thinks more time has passed.
What do you mean it's not Christmas? She says it's whatever you want to believe it is.
Yeah. So he gets in his Ferrari and drives back to the house in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Old Campbell house where they all lived.
Guess what?
Well, they're not there, of course, because they never existed.
So he's talking to the gentleman who answers the door and says, no Kate here.
Yeah, and I read that that's Robert Downey Sr. So is that Robert Downey Jr.'s dad? Or is it just someone with the same name who's a senior?
Well, I think I would figure it's Robert Downey Jr.'s father.
Or why would they put the senior there?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, he looks a little bit like him, I guess.
So that's who I'm thinking.
Okay. And the guy's pretty nice about it, but he tells him, you know, they don't live here.
Yeah.
Are you okay? And Jack says he's not okay.
Is Kate here? No Kate here.
Yeah. Which he kind of knew that would be the case, right?
Yeah. He says, of course not.
Right.
Of course there's no Kate here. Guy says, you okay? And Jack says, no. And off he goes.
So his car phone rings, and it's Adele, his secretary. And she tells him that he's late for that emergency meeting that he...
The meeting that scheduled. He called.
Right, at noontime. Plus, he has the trip to Aspen that he's supposed to do after that to work out the merger. So he's half an hour late. He says he'll be right there. And he shows up at this meeting, but he's not like the old Jack at all.
No, he's the new Jack.
Yeah, dressed in t-shirt sweats. And they say, you know, are you okay? Because that's just not the way they've ever seen him. But everyone is in a panic about the merger. I'm not sure what happened with the merger, are you? I never really followed that.
There was another suitor
for
this merger. So they're all worried that the owner of the company that they're trying to buy out is going to go with this other company. And they'll be shut out.
Okay.
So Jack says, here's what we're going to do.
Right. He tells them they're going to try and find out things. And then he's going to clean himself up, fly to Aspen. He says he's going to drink eggnog with the client, and then he'll ski alone. And you can tell he's not happy. He's very depressed about the whole thing. He says that he will be completely and utterly alone. He says, this is my life. It is real, and there's nothing I can do to change that.
That's it.
Yep. Well, that's what he says, but he changes his mind again.
Yeah.
When he gets back in the limo, he calls information. Remember information?
Yeah.
He does that.
He's going to go home, clean up, and take off.
Well, that's what he was going to do, but then he decides to get Kate's address and go see her.
Yes. So he goes in. This is a nice-looking area. Wealthy.
Yeah. Is that like a brownstone or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes, and it looks like there's a lot of activity. It looks like people are moving out.
Yeah. Kate is packing to move to Paris, and her assistant is helping her. So we see that Kate is single, and she's financially successful. She's a corporate lawyer.
She is, and her company is transferring her to Paris.
And I don't like this Kate very much. Well, she's kind of like the Jack, you know?
Well,
the alternate Jack.
I think that's how you have to look at it.
Right? Yeah, right.
So, she's a bit of a jerk.
She kind of is, yeah. I mean, she's not bad, but she's just kind of annoying. She's a little bit patronizing. She's very... Well, I mean, understandably, I guess she's very distracted by what's going on, what she's doing. I mean, out of fairness, why would she expect this old boyfriend to come back?
Well, I know.
Other than to, she only just wanted to give him a box of his stuff. That's the only reason she called.
That's why she called.
It's a big disappointment.
And I'm also thinking, and we talked about this, why would you hold on to a bunch of your ex-boyfriend's junk for 12 years, 13 years? That would have been trashed a long time ago.
Yeah, I think so too, but... You know, she must have had some deep down feeling about him, too, is the only way I can explain it.
It must be. It's a good story.
Yeah. But she's wearing all black. She's much more stylish than the Kate that lived in New Jersey.
She is, although the hair is the same.
Pretty much. Yeah, I like the haircut. So Jack asks her to go for a cup of coffee and talk, but she's just too busy.
Can't do it.
But then he does overhear the flight information when the assistant changes Kate's flight. So that's important to note, that he knows when her flight is and with what airline. So Kate's kind of thinking, you know, does he need closure? If you need closure, I'm fine, blah, blah, blah. I hate her when she says that. I don't know why, but it's just annoying.
Well, it's like she's blowing him off, you know?
Yeah, true.
And I can see where I do that. I mean, although on the one hand, she's the one who called him.
Right, exactly.
But he ditched her.
I know, that's true. But he seems really desperate. So she says, you know, I'll tell you what, if you're ever in Paris, look me up and we'll have coffee or cafe or whatever.
Yeah, he's holding his box of stuff that she presented him. And
she could care less that he's there, really.
Yeah, she's not paying any attention to him. So he kind of skulks off.
Yeah, he looks sad. He goes back to his apartment in New York. He's in a limo now. I don't know why he's not in the Ferrari, but he's in the limo.
Well, the limo picked him up at work.
Yeah.
Because it was going to take him to his apartment and to the airport.
Oh, okay.
So he gets to the apartment. He's looking in the box.
Yeah.
There's some of that fine men's cologne, English leather.
And some albums.
I think probably that would make Jack and I contemporaries pretty much.
Yeah, I think so.
So, and he's got some old record albums that are vinyl.
He's totally reminiscing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is the time when he's making this decision where he decides to hop in the Ferrari and go to the airport and try and stop Kate from moving.
It's going to work.
Or at least stop her from leaving at that moment. I guess, is it the fact that he sees the pictures of them that convinces him to do that or what?
I don't think it's just the pictures. I think he's looking through this box. He's remembering all the times they had together.
Yeah.
Right? And he's thinking... I gotta do something.
It's a nice Kurt Vonnegut book, Cat's Cradle. Good book. And the pictures are those photo booth pictures like he used to get in the mall.
Yeah, four for a quarter or something like that.
So now he's totally leaving caution to the wind. He pulls up to the airport, just leaves that Ferrari, even though the policeman says, hey.
Yeah, and he's sprinting.
Now, I wonder how many movies there are where we see someone just get to the airport and jump out of their car and leave their car. I wonder if that ever really happens.
And again, here he is through security.
Yeah, this is what? A long time ago, I guess.
Yeah.
In the 90s, you could do that.
The plane's boarding.
Yep.
And he sees Kate standing in line.
Well, she's about to get right on the plane. She's at the gate.
She's almost ready to board. And he's saying, you know, there's got to be another flight to Paris. I want to sit down and talk with you, have a cup of coffee.
Right, and here again, she's asking him if he needs closure, because she's fine, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. She was heartbroken, but now she's fine. She said she's moved on, and he should move on, too. She says, I got over it.
I moved on, and you should move on, too.
Right, which, you know, all makes sense, but he looks like he's going to cry. Because he's thinking of Josh and Annie and the bowling league, and there's a lot of good stuff he's missing out on now. It seemed like a fun life there in Jersey.
Yeah, he's thinking about how it almost was.
But here's the great part, because she's just about to get on that plane, and he takes the last ditch effort.
Turned around and going out, and he turns back and says, wait a minute.
Yeah, he calls out a description of their life in New Jersey and their two kids. He says that they've been married for 13 years and they're still deeply in love. Gives some details about Annie playing the violin. And this is where we get teary, because it's very sweet. And Kate finally seems to be paying attention. I think it's the first time that we see her really listening to him in this segment.
Oh, no question. And he's going on about the family and the life that they had together. And he's really got her attention now.
It's a little crazy.
It is.
But something must hit home with her, because it's definitely got her attention.
It does. And he's going over and all the things in their life, and she's thinking more and more.
Well, and then I think what really clinches it is that he uses her line, that he chooses us, which was her line, I choose us, which I guess is the line of the movie, if you had to pick one.
It is. I sing to you, not all the time. Special occasions, we've dealt with our share of surprises, made a lot of sacrifices, but we stayed together. You're a better person than I am, he says. And it made me a better person to be around you.
Yeah, there, so that's kind of what we were saying. That kind of sums it all up. Kate agrees to have coffee with him. Now, they don't show that. They just kind of cut from he says, I swear nothing has ever felt so real. And if you get on that plane right now, it'll disappear forever.
He's fired away with both barrels, let's see.
He said, I've seen what we can be like together, and I choose us.
I choose us.
Yep. So she does agree to have coffee with him.
One cup of coffee. You can always go to Paris. But she's different, because when she did that to him 13 years ago, he left.
Yeah, I don't know if she went all out like that. I mean, she did go all out. This seems more.
She went all out.
Yeah.
Whatever, it worked. She says, okay, Jack, let's go have coffee.
So the ending scene is the two of them sitting at the airport at a table sharing some coffee.
Snow is falling outside.
Of course.
The restaurant is deserted.
Yeah.
Except for the two of them. There's a waiter or a busboy in the background hoping they leave soon because he wants to go home. And they're having a very nice talk.
Right. So, what do you think happens after this to Jack and Kate?
Okay. So, if you're a romantic, they're going to get together.
Okay.
And they're going to live the life that they would have lived a little differently, but they're going to be together. Oh, and as they pan out, the restaurant isn't that deserted. So, maybe he wasn't trying to get out of there.
Well, yeah, I think they just made it look like it was just the two of them, but there actually are people there.
There are people.
They might be snowed in because the snow's really coming down.
Oh, yeah. That's it. She couldn't go to Paris tonight because the airport's closed.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So if they end up together, they're older now. Will they still have kids? Now, you keep telling me they won't have Josh and Annie, which I'm really disappointed about.
Well, they're only mid-30s, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mid to late 30s, so yeah.
They could still have two kids.
We can still have a couple kids.
Okay. But I don't think they'll necessarily live in Jersey. They might just put money a little bit on the back burner and kind of have some kind of compromise.
Well, they wouldn't be living in Jersey anyway.
Well, I mean, her parents might still live there.
Yeah, and?
Well, so they might like to be in Jersey near the rest of the family.
Well, we have to figure that out.
I mean,
maybe he moves to Paris to be with her in Paris.
Sure. But what happened to Big Ed's tire store? Because if he had the heart attack and Jack wasn't there to take over.
Someone else bought it.
Yeah, it might have gone out of business.
Could have. But I'm choosing to, since I'm a romantic,
yes,
that Jack and Kate are going to be together.
Yes, I choose them.
See? We got it.
We got it.
All right.
Okay.
Nice movie. Love Actually is still my favorite for Christmas time weepy movies, but this is a nice movie. I liked it.
Yeah, we podcasted Love Actually a couple of years ago.
I know, we had fun doing that.
Yeah, I don't know if I could listen to it. It's probably pretty bad, but anyway, it's fun. I appreciate everybody listening. I'm sorry if you wanted a crime this month and you're getting this, but we thought this would be a nicer thing for the holiday.
Yeah, don't you think this is more fun?
Great movie.
Well, it's a movie we enjoyed. I don't know that we could say great.
Well, it's a great corny love story, which we like.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back in a few days with our regular episode of True Crime Brewery. Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays. We'll see you at the quiet end.
Bye-bye.
Bye.